as a voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me, love me with your whole heart, he wants it all today. Serve me with your life now, he wants it all today. He wants it all today, he wants it all today, he wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all.
To Jesus Christ, the Lord God, Jehovah, and the blessed Holy Ghost. Welcome to another exciting training day. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Pastor Gerald O, my producer, and his lovely wife. Happy birthday, Sheila. Pastor Sheila. Amen. And all the saints and friends, I say praise the Lord. This is a brand new year, never been used before. God don't do reruns except when it comes to us. Hallelujah. You know, it's really been a blessing. Amen. Knowing this is something that you can research on your own time. You know, God is he has an agenda. And as some may make it sound as though he's secretive and we're not to know what's going to happen when, that is not the case. A matter of fact, with something like in the case of a judgment, God always warns in advance. Amen. And the judgment is just as it is with a court. It can be good or bad, depending on what your status is. If you're doing the will of God, it can be good in your favor. Amen. A lot of what is going on in the world, though, is because historically, a lot of Christians have engaged in what I call democratized Christianity, and that means they've decided they can vote on the word and decide what they can believe and what they can do and what they can't. That is not the case. Amen. But I just thank God, amen, hallelujah. This is not a democracy, it's a theocracy, and I'm all in. Because God got some great plans, and we have to think on his level. Amen. Let us go before his throne and invite him in to take over this relationship, this message, this situation. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you and praise you and bless you and give you glory and honor that is due your holy name. We thank you for another year, Lord. Amen. It has established the fact that we came from last year to this year has put into the books that you can do what you say you can do. Amen. I'm sure each and every one of us, some way, somehow, Satan tried to take us out, but he failed. And that is all because of you, and we thank you for it. Father God, we ask you that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we will more know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of your glory and the inheritance that you have in the saints. And Father God, I ask that you would strengthen them with might, those that are yet going through bereavement, amen, strengthen them and encourage them, amen, to know that, amen, this is a temporary but necessary part of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, I ask that you would bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have me to say. Let it be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, that part of that prayer comes from Colossians. And as I said, God is not as secretive as people make him out to be. I found a long time ago that a lot of people that were carrying Bibles weren't reading them. And I would be talking to people as I figured they had been at church longer than I had, in some cases longer than I had been alive. And it's like I was talking a foreign language to them. And the result was they really just hadn't read the Bible. You know, people treated the Bible like it was some type of magical object that will ward off evil spirits, when in fact, when Satan see you with a Bible, you will draw evil spirits. It does just the opposite, because in it is the knowledge to overthrow him in your life. You know, we're still on the issue of who and what is Jesus the Christ. And you know, I haven't been given any instructions to change that. Because in essence, if you've been paying attention from part one to now, which I believe is part 10, it stems from the Old Testament all the way through. It has always been all about God, always about Christ, and trying to get our minds enveloped into the reality of what this is really about. Because, you know, we take this look at ourselves, and we really don't look as detailed as we can and should, understanding that man is a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a mind, will, and emotion, and you live in a body. And those things bring together, this is how we communicate with each other. Now, what we have been seeing is that, see, Jesus understood this. You know, I remember years ago the arguments between Christians about whether or not Jesus is God. Well, you know, when you got all power, that to me kind of settles the issue. The fact that you got it from someone is irrelevant. You know, the fact that he got it from a person and you could only get it one way, and that's if they gave it to you, it kind of speaks to it. What that means is, when you look in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It uses the term theos, and it's still talking about a level of authority to which there is none above. Okay, and that particular scripture, see, really just isolates this reality of what we're dealing with. And again, we can, being human, we can only know so much. We use what they tell us about 15% of our spirit. You know, and they say our mind, they don't know the difference, you know. They're learning, you know. I admire scientists in their efforts to learn about it, because things I understand now, I would not understand had they not did the research that they do. But the research tells me how great God is, because, you know, recently they just launched another satellite or a telescope into space, the James Webb telescope. And that thing is going to be set off a million miles out in space. It's going to take a month to get there, to be there on the end of this month of January, and then it has to go through a process before it can start sending back pictures. I just want to see what God has done out there. Now, think about this. An omniscient person would not be – we don't occupy the fullness of earth. So if God is constantly allowing the universe to expand, he has the reason. Now, what I have been trying to do with the entire training day message is explain the magnitude of our creation. You know, I'm getting less pushback and people saying, you know, as strange as it is, it makes sense. You know, Let's read where this began, and I'm going back to Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. And I'm reading this time out of the King James. Amen. And it says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? And they said, some say you are John the Baptist, some Elias, which means Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou, you art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, now this is key, we talked about this last time, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You know, I talked about last time, and this is the case with anybody. I tell people, regardless of what they believe, they need to call out to God and ask him for a revelation. And God is so kind, because I don't have time to explain everything about how prayer works, but this is why it's so critical for Christians to pray for people every day. Just about when I'm out, when I meet somebody, I pray most of that prayer that I pray at the beginning, particularly that they receive a spirit of wisdom. Now, that is for God to open up their eyes to see things as he see them. You can't just know that Jesus is Lord. If that was the case, I wouldn't, you know, have to have conversations with people that hate Christians. They don't have a clue what's going on. But that's because they are there. I find a person like that has either never been in the presence of a person that used the authority that God has given them, or they have rejected it. And you can reject to a point that God will just say, okay, go on your way. And that God will honor your right to go to hell. Okay? You got to understand what we are. Man is a spirit. You're an eternal being. You can doubt that, but there's a saying I heard. There are no atheists in hell, no idiots in heaven. I mean, it's big. But if you look at the basics of our creation, the simple fact that you went from being a sperm and an egg to the person that you see, think about the capacity or the enormity of that transition. And the fact that of what you can do as a person speaks volumes about the spirit of man, because it came from God in Genesis 2:7, which is a good segue for us to go to John chapter 20 and look at, this is after Jesus' resurrection. And, I mean, this is some powerful stuff here. Now, I'm reading in John chapter 20, verse 19, and it says, on the evening of the first day of the week, this is an FYI, people always wonder, and they this debate going, don't get into an argument. People believe in the Sabbath day, some don't. Colossians 2:15 and Romans chapter 14 says your option, okay? If God had a problem with it, people be dropping dead, because there was an incident in the Old Testament where a man just went out to pick up some firewood, Sabbath day, and he dropped dead, okay? That's, you know, God hasn't done that to anybody, which tells me that things are different. But that's where we get this from. People want to argue about who did it. God used people. Sometimes God looked, he can't find his own people to do it, so he'll let somebody else do it. But anyway, it says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the, listen at this, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know that, you know, when I won't debate with people, but I see one thing. There are certain incidents in the Bible that are, I would say, moments or instances or epiphanies of restoration. And you have to remember, when Adam sinned, that portion of life got cut off, receiving the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing when you think back, before Adam sinned, he never got to check out how much power he really had. You know, and it is obviously good, but again, you know, this demands that we pay attention to God. You as an individual, I don't care what your intellectual level is, God can communicate with you. Okay, there's nobody that is too low of intelligence he can't communicate with. He usually have trouble communicating with people who are think they are of high intelligence, but they're very low in wisdom. They go lacking. But again, this level of authority and power is what your relatives in Christ have right now, which is why they are not allowed presently back on the earth. They can move without restriction. Note this, they had the doors locked up tight because, you know, they were hunted men, okay? And think about you're talking a major cultural transformation coming here, and this is, even though this had been written, I mean, it's think of it now. Even though it's been written, they didn't, and even though they had walked with Jesus and experienced and witnessed many miracles, this reality, when he died, That you know, that throws you for a loop. It's like, wait a minute, man, you walked on the water, you raised the dead, and here you die. That really, even though this was written in the book of Isaiah, they, you know, this don't make sense. So don't feel bad or don't withdraw if you like slow getting this. The key to this thing you'll find with the disciples is just stick with it. Because things we understand now that Paul did not understand. And we learned some of these things from Paul's writing, but he never really had the chance to put things to work as often or as much as we have. So we're all learning in this process, and this is something tremendous. And the whole, again, what I'm, my little piece of the puzzle to this training day is to get your mind elevated to the supernatural, because when Jesus called us for the rapture, or if you should die, which, you know, in Christ, hopefully, you go to a mindset and a capability that you can't comprehend other than watching Marvel and DC action movies. You know, if you watch those, you will see why. You sit there, read Matthew 22, verse 37 and 39, and then read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, and then watch and see how the villains don't apply that. See what happens when you have that level of power that these guys expressed in those, and that is why we have training day. That is why God came in the flesh. That is why it took 6,000 years for us to get to the 12th grade. When Jesus come back, we go into the collegiate level, because we will be in that form of power that he is now. 1 John 3:2, it says, "Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." You know, our minds, we want the simple. But it ain't simple. If it was simple, I don't think God would have taken 6,000 years. He could have sent Jesus. He heard the first mention of a Savior is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He could have settled that. He could have blocked Satan from the garden. He could have, once Satan acted up, he could have evaporated him. Boom. He didn't have to go through this process. God is thinking long term. Long term. Now, you know, there's some things that, see, you know, one of the things in the book of Genesis, it says, what man has imagined to do that he will accomplish, you know. But once things enter into your imagination, you really, it just takes a matter of time. And one of the things I really believe is that even though somebody come up with these movie titles, Guardians of the Universe, I believe that's part of what, that is really what's going on. I mean, when you add the details, see. You know, I'm not afraid to be wrong. I mean, this is with engineers and scientists. I dropped out of engineering for reasons, because I didn't have the revelation of the power that was within me. You know, I let Satan trick people into making me angry. You know, it was a lot of racial activity back then and in the 70s, so rather than go to jail, I just backed out of it. God got the job done anyway. Can you imagine? You got to, shoot, I still had to deal with that. You don't get out of that. But that's, again, that's what this life is about. There's some things I've learned about the power of God recently in the last year. And I was going to make a video about it, and the Holy Spirit said no. And that is because it is an area that, one, a person seeking God will get the revelation from God. And it's a power that will only work, like most of the promises of God, will only work under certain circumstances, but it can be abused. If you let your spirit, let your soul, let your mind, let your emotions guide your thinking. It's supposed to be the other way around. Everything in you is supposed to stem from what the spirit is. And your spirit should be full of the word of God so that he can pull it up when you get ready to think to do something. That's how he do me now. See? And a lot of times that don't mean, and believe me, you'll find he will have you do things when you disagree. You'll be right. The person will be wrong, but he'll have you handle it his way. And that isn't that he's agreeing with the person being wrong. And this is important in marriage. He is not agreeing with the person being wrong. He's developing. God is always developing you on your end. He do not, You know, God will, you know, he will develop me in patience. He'll use the situation in the marriage to develop me in patience. He will use the situation in the marriage to develop my wife in patience. He won't change me. I have to decide to change. See, that's how that works. But again, the level of authority that God is wanting to hand to us. Remember now, during this is critical. During the thousand-year reign, you will have two classes of mankind on the planet. Now, look, ain't nobody told me nothing different, and I'm open for scripture, you know, okay, because at the rapture, we change and become just like Jesus, where we can just appear somewhere. But the people that come through the tribulation won't have that ability, and we have to interact with them, and we have to love them the same way God loves us. And if we have to love them the same way God loves us, the fact that I got to do that means they ain't going to always act like you want them to. Think about that. When I first read the definition of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that told me life was trying. When I read love God, after I had read love God before, Matthew, Jesus talked about it, 22:37-39, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, strength, and spirit, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. That sounded like, oh, yeah, just be sweet and kind to him. Then I get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I see something. I'm like, wait a minute. I read it like, I don't know, 5-10 times, looking for emotions, looking for a if. So like it is in Romans chapter, I think Romans 12:18 said, if it be possible. No, that wasn't in there. I'm like, wait a minute, Lord, wait. What do I get out of this? Well, see, listen. Let's go right back here to Matthew's. Jesus breathed on them. Now, he said, receive ye. And that's one thing classic. Remember this about the Holy Spirit in any aspect. You have to receive him. You don't work for him. You can't do enough work. If you did all the work that's ever been done, you would not be able to do enough. It would not count as enough work to receive that which God has given you. We all now have, you. When you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, what he breathed on them, see, is what you get. You get the breath of life from Christ. Don't go by your emotions. And the fact, thank you, Holy Ghost, and the fact that you don't become perfect once you receive, because I get that. You don't become perfect. You got the Spirit of God in your body, in your spirit, but you ain't perfect. Your mind still do come up with stupid stuff. You know, people cut you off in traffic and you don't say, praise the Lord, I'm going to pray for them. You know, that's part of the learning process. That is why I call it training day. You will be in training until you, even after you leave here, you know, from what I read in the book, you still be in training. Why? Because you ain't God. You don't know everything. You don't know the magnitude of what it is, and it's still, you know, it's just some things you have to learn. For instance, when people drive a race car, there's certain levels. When you get to a certain level, you have to go through training. You have to qualify. And it's the same way with the power of God. You know, you can't look, think about it. Ask your friends, even yourself, do you pray? Do you pray every day? How do you not pray every day? You're the only one, Christians are the only one that God listens to when it comes to things as intercession. People can beg God for stuff. They can ask him for cars, for food, and for healing, and for all those things. And if Satan hear about it, if the demon hear about it that's around them, he can block it because they do not have a covenant. But you as a Christian are part of God's royal priesthood, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9. That's a powerful position. You had to go back and study the Old Testament priesthood. I have some video on that if you go through them trying to explain that. Because that's a very powerful position. God does not save anybody until we ask. He does nothing in the earth unless we ask. That's just the way it is. He set it up that way. That puts you in a very powerful position. Don't complain about the government. Pray about the government. They don't have, listen, it's just too much. This is what, See, that's what we're, all that is in there to teach us what Christ means, what Christian means. Notice that name stuck, Christian. For the benefit of new people, I want y'all to understand. Let's go to Acts chapter 11 Acts chapter 11, and we're going to go down to like verse 26. I want you to get these details. Hallelujah. I'm going to read from verse 23. And anyway, verse 22 said, news of this, let me start with 21. The Lord's hand was with them, talking about the disciples. Anyway, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them to all remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul, also known as Paul, met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Okay, this isn't really history about Antioch anyway. But, so the point is, look at what happened. You have Jews that have been named Christians. Not Gentiles, Gentiles named Jews Christians. Gentiles named Jews Christians. I want you to get that. Now, biblically, a Christian will be what is called a proselyte. That means you have adopted the ways of another. Okay, and in this case, you would have adopted the ways of the Old Testament Jews. That's technically what we are. We would be Messianic Jews. There's a good one to look up and understand. That's the Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, particularly because I was going to talk about a little bit about the Shemitah, the seven-year periods, and we begin a new seven-year period. But anyway, so the point is, but the name, what was brought about because of the works and the miracles that was being done through the disciples. Amen, which I'm headed toward that way. I just wanted to throw that in there for some. I'm just following the leading of the Holy Spirit, okay? Because that name talks about they saw the evidence of the power of God. And now it is without question that the disciples had grown to the place of being more submissive to God. And this is, we're entering into that period now. I've been hearing this for years God does things in his own manner. This is going to be a spectacular year. And from then on, from here on, a lot of great things are going to happen, but there's a caveat to those that obey God. And he's not going to be forcing people. God don't do that. Because this, again, all of your life is learning to be submissive to him, and God is what? God is love. So you're learning to be submissive to love. To understand what you're learning to be submissive, you really need to do an analysis on 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. So you understand, and this comes to play in interaction with people. You know, I'm just stepping out. I've been stepping out in faith more to pray for people with situations, because it's on God. It's on God. We're supposed to be doing this. All right. So we were talking about, we're going to go back. I don't want to leave nothing out. Anyway, have to keep coming back to it. And going back to John chapter 20, see if I make sure I covered everything there because, you know, oh yeah. Okay. Now, let me see, man. I'm looking for, okay. I don't want to get off into that, but you really need to read John chapter 20 in there, because particularly, like I said, Jesus came back, manifested himself. Now, this is the point here. This begins, now we're going to go to Mark chapter 16, okay? Now, where we're going is, now let's just kind of recap here. We then came from the Old Testament. We had the centerfold with Jesus in between the two eras of the Old Testament and the New Testament. So Jesus, it was necessary for him to come, die, be resurrected, to complete that process, to allow us to be complete. Now, and I spoke on that before, last time, about the Old Testament saints. If you look at Luke chapter 16, you'll see Abraham in a full conversation with a guy that history calls Dives. I've heard several names, but the point of the matter, you got two men that are dead more than 1,500 years having a full conversation. So that answers the issue of whether or not people know what's going on when they die. They don't know what's going on earth, but in their realm, they know. Now, in my point for just bringing that into the conversation is the fact that they are alive. Now, with Jesus, we talked about in Peter that Jesus went and preached unto the spirits, and that was them. I mean, that was kind of obvious. I don't think nobody would have doubted Jesus after they done died. They still alive. They could see suffering over there on the other side. That would be the idiot of all time to say, no, I don't believe it. I'm not going with you. I'm not almost stayed out here in Hades. Man, you know, that's a level of dumb. Satan, that ain't that dumb. But they all left. Amen. Okay, so the point of the matter is that they continue their training. They learn the righteousness of God and the fullness, and they got the full capacity of mind to comprehend it. And ain't no telling what they get to visit the universe, I'm sure. You know, we just getting pictures of it. They actually get to travel. So, again, this is, see, you got to get your mind to that level. I know it seems cartoonish. It seems impossible. It seems fantasy, but it's realistic. I mean, come on now. I'm sitting here talking. In a millisecond, every millisecond, my spirit sends signals to trillions of cells to conduct this activity. And this is, even though it's at the minor level, it is happening. It is happening. All right. So we're going to Mark chapter 16, because again, like I say, you have the authority of Jesus Christ. You know, he was sent. He had to complete his life, was sinless. You know, he did what he was sent to do. That was foretold in the book of Isaiah. He carried out. It is said he fulfilled over 300 prophecies. The number on the probability of that happening was in the trillions. It just couldn't happen, but God is in control of that. All right. So what we have now, what I'm about to read, and we've read this before Matthew's, a different version, different account, but the same thing, is the transfer of power. And that's what I want to highlight, because of what he just did with the disciples. Now, remember that breathing is what took place in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and that unleashed tremendous amount of intelligence right there. God doesn't have a B-level intelligence. It's not a lower-level intelligence. It's not possible for that to be. When he severed that breath and it became Adam, okay, he built the soulless realm, okay, he designed a soulless realm for it to dwell in, and then Adam became a living soul, mind, will, and emotion, a communicator, a person, a thinking person, a person with will and an object that can accomplish objectives. That happened. The reason God put that limitation on there is because God doesn't have, if he'd have just severed his spirit out from him, he would have had two of him. See, that is not the goal. That is not the goal. There will only be one God. I guarantee you that. You know, all the folks that claim they God, I don't know if you noticed, but since Jesus showed up, since the Holy Ghost been released in the earth, all these other characters disappeared, Zeus and Walu and whatever you want, Neptune and all them, they disappeared off the scene. That's because they were just demons running game on people. They could do that. They had that access. They had that free reign. There was no, the Spirit of God was not in the earth like it is now. So they don't have that free reign. Only in areas where the Holy Spirit is not dominant can they do that in these foreign countries. That's why I say, this is just another FYI, I expect a UFO to show up on screen, large scale, undeniable, clear pictures, not a blip on the radar. But I do not expect that anyone will exit that vehicle. And if they do, it will happen in places like Russia or India or China, where the Holy Spirit is not dominant and most people are not Christian. And then most of them follow the ideologies that they've been taught by demon dummies. here, it's a different act. There's too many Christians that know how to pray, you know, even though it's not enough, but it's enough that he couldn't do that here. Why is that going to happen? There's not, and I'm not the only one who thinks this. If you look up UFOs on YouTube, you'll find other teachers sharing even more information, have more data and more establishing more information about this, because how do you explain a billion people, if that's the case, I have a different number, but how you explain disappearance of a billion people? I mean, you got to have some way for the Antichrist to convince people that the rapture didn't happen. He has to have a methodology for doing that. Now, I understand what you're dealing with. Satan has an IQ of 2,500. Don't nobody at MIT know what he knows. They still learn. He already know this stuff. He's been building UFOs for a long time, you know. But he also, remember, this is documented. This is he knew this day was coming. He still thinks some kind of way, somehow, he can win, okay? It ain't happening. It ain't happening. What the Bible said, that's what it's going to be, all right? Now, we're reading in Mark chapter 16. This is another account of after Jesus' resurrection. And beginning at verse 14, it says, later Jesus appeared to the 11. As they were eating, there was 12. One committed suicide. That was Judas. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. This is why we use the term saved. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. All right. And after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. Now, think about that particular statement. If that ain't supernatural, if that ain't Marvel comic type talk, but that's real. That's the real of the real. See, this is why Satan come up with all this other fake stuff, because he want us to think it ain't real. But it's real. Even him. I mean, come on, you're talking about a guy, Satan hasn't aged a day from the time he was created. He's still the same. Anyway, look wise. All right? Angels don't get sick. They don't get tired. They don't get hungry. You know, there's an incident in the Old Testament where one angel took out 185,000 of the top military personnel. Okay? Now, but angel to angel, they have a battle. Okay? There's a war in Revelation chapter 12. Okay? And they, even though, you know, Michael and Juan, okay, but look at what it's talking about here, okay? You got this is a transference of authority. And then there's the process of learning this authority. There's many aspects of it, particularly it goes back to managing love and dealing with it. Why? You know, at the end of every session, I use this phrase. It says, prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. Okay? And that the reason I say that is simply because that's what happens. That's why I have to keep my mindset in alignment with God's way of thinking, because he only looks at of their salvation and deliverance. We're building his family. So you have to be, as we went in John 3:3, he told Nicodemus, and I think he picked the perfect person for that. Nicodemus was an upstanding, good person, okay? And he was Jewish on top of that. But the change, the way God do things has been changed. You must be born again. Before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, you could have wound up like Abraham in the part of Hades that was a paradise, okay? But now that don't work anymore. So we then, remember, God is still just doing this process. Think of there's going to be a 1,000-year training period on this planet. Not in heaven, on this planet. Why a specific number of years? Because it takes that much time to learn. Why do we make people, I think people spend too much time in college for some things. I think most of them probably only need to spend a couple of years, but I ain't running that. You need to pray about that. Okay, but the fact of the matter is, you know, the one thing I know about Jesus, you won't spend time studying something you won't need to know, you know, or won't ever use. You will, everything he's going to be teaching, because you're going to be unleashing some power. I believe the humans, the regular humans, the B class, let me say it like that, will probably get into intergalactic space travel. And you'll be there to monitor behavior. Now, the only question I have that I haven't gotten an answer from God, because there's no specificity in the Bible, will we actually be visible to them or not be visible to them? I don't know. That I don't know. Will that be permitted? I don't know. Just like now with Jesus. But Jesus, because of his legal authority, and I'm not going to get into that right now, but you have to be born of a woman to have physical authority in the earth. I'll say it like that. That's another whole study. You can look that up. Probably some videos on YouTube to teach that aspect. All right. He gave a command. Go ye into all the world and preach. Okay. Okay, he leans on this in different parts of the Bible. We will eventually get to some more of it. The point is, spread the word. Spread the word. Now, be wise, as he say, harmless as doves and wise as a serpent. Okay? Now, you know, the point of the man is, you know, in the book of Proverbs, it said that a person offended is harder won than a fortified city. Okay, and that's something, because I do this a lot. You know, I speak to people a lot, and I try to find, you know, a methodology or a road into getting them engaged in a conversation, mainly to locate where they are. If they resist, then I back off, and I will switch the whole subject. And in some cases, I'll even apologize, because, you know, people know that's because we've done such a bad job of Christianity in the past. That a lot of people really don't, and they don't understand why life is the way it is. And then when they run across an ignorant Christian that gives them the wrong information, it makes it even harder, okay? But you can still pray for them, okay? And when he said, preach the good news, see, this is what I'm doing. They have an option to listen. I got people, amen, from, I just met some more people about U of M. I don't know why I wind up there, I guess because it's in the neighborhood. Versus Wayne State. Go Wayne. But anyway, the point of the matter is in your environment, you know, in your home, particularly in your home, you should avail yourself of the knowledge of the word of God. Peter said to be prepared to give every man an answer of the hope that lies in you. Why do you believe what you believe? It's amazing that you could be a Bob running the Christian, been a Christian for more than 5 years that know nothing. That tell me they don't take God serious. And that, I think, is dangerous. I've even heard one man of God say those types will get left behind because they don't take God serious. Why? Because they're obviously, I'm telling you, I'm not fearful, afraid, but I'm conscious. And I make sure, this is why I pray every day. Well, I pray every day because I realize that I have the authority. It's a command to do it. That's what's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. A command is when the word tells you to do something and don't give you an option. Okay? That's the simplicity of that. But go ye into all the world. Why? Because he's spreading the redemption. Okay? This. Because you are a spirit person, an individual that thinks on your own, you're a God class, small g, being in your existence. It was God's intention for you to be here. It was God's will for you to live, but you make decisions. He don't make them for you. And the fact of how we got here is irrelevant. We're here. He had a different plan because the individuals involved in our coming here, depending on how much effort they put into wanting to learn his plan, remember the Bible ain't a new book. I just got a Bible written in 144 A.D. It's got the same story. But the key holder to the Bible is God. Okay? So the fact that I've seen here men of God teach things, you know, I had these teach things that wasn't understood 200 years ago, 100 years ago, 180 years ago. And it's because why? Because it just took someone sitting down and spending time approaching God, waiting on him to answer. And God he'll answer when he get ready. You know, he'll answer when he get ready. You just have to be ready to hear when he get there. And then it's to do what he say do after he give you the revelation. And he will try you. My pastor regularly tell us that God told him he was not his first choice, but he was the first one that he could see in his heart that was going to do what God say do, how he say do. You know, that's why, it's another reason why I don't have no problem with people being pastors. I'm not a pastor. And I'm not going to get into details as to why, but I didn't make the grade. I'm going to just say it like that. I admire. I esteem, like most people esteem athletes and all these other alleged celebrities. That's my mindset about a pastor. I don't care if he got five members of the church. If you tell me a pastor, I think of him as a rock star. Because, one, I know one thing about it. He gets attacked by Satan. A lot. That's why I pray every day. That's another reason I pray every day. See, you got to understand this about how prayer works and how essential you are. Don't let the devil tell you ain't nobody. Shoot. He the one who wants you to think that. Shoot. You somebody in Christ. All right. So you got this transition of power. Christians coming on the scene right now in the last days. You know, the persecution, the persecution of Christians is much greater than anybody else. 250 million Christians pray for the persecuted Christians. It's another reason you need to pray. Pray for the persecuted Christians. One is they need a revelation of how to defend themselves with the power of God. God is, I really believe, unleashing some authority that they're not, that we don't use. You know, we don't use. We can command. I just seen a situation here in Arizona in the United States where a storm came through. It was a 100-mile-an-hour wind with a fire. Went through and left a neighborhood looking like it got scorched by a nuclear weapon. And all I kept thinking was that there wasn't enough people that knew enough to block that wind using the power of God. I'm totally convinced of that. The same way Jesus rebuked the wind, we have that authority. Now, there are some qualifications. I list them at the end. I do it on the end of the video. Matter of fact, I'll run through them right now. Number one, let's see what time we got. Well, I'm at the close. We'll pick this up next week. Anyway, it says you got number one, you got to have a covenant with Jesus Christ. We're going to take care of that if you don't. Number two, you got to forgive. You got to forgive. You can't hold on to nothing. The Bible said don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Number three, you can't practice what God calls sin. And that covers a lot of territory, you know. You must control your mouth. You can't let everything, anything come out of your mouth. Because you are God-like being, what comes out of your mouth becomes a brick, the bill, whatever it is coming out of your mouth. Now, this is one that get a lot of people. You must be obedient in worship of tithe. That's, you know, when I saw that, one of two things that happened. When I saw that fire go through there, I thought about it. I'm like, I wonder how many of them argued about, I ain't going to appreciate their money. You give up your protection. You go back and you read Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, you'll see you're cursed with a curse. See, listen, God did not send that fire through there. Satan did. But in order to stop Satan, Satan knows if you are out of alignment of the will of God, he can exercise authority over you. He can't do it to a person that knows their rights and standing in the kingdom of God. All right? I got series on that, on this same thing, seven causes of prayer failure. And that's what all the promises of God. You must serve God in prayer. One, because one, you guys' only method of, that's how he chose to communicate, how he chose to develop, and that's how he run ministry. That's how he get things done. You know, one thing I say, my pastor built up a prayer force. It's some prayer. It's some praying for. I remember, you know, he announced that we will be having prayer as the Lord give him the instructions to when to have it, like, you know, pray for an hour, pray for two. We've had prayer sessions that lasted as long as 4 hours, 8 hours. And he announced that. The church wasn't quiet. They were shouting like a football game. I mean, why? Because they understood, we've been taught how to do battle with the devil on his level. Okay, serve God in prayer. That's a lot of territory. You really need to go back and review those videos. You must be in pursuit of the will of God. Y'all hear that every Sunday. You can take every message you've heard, and particularly those that give you instruction and revelation and correction and reproof, and that's what that's about. This is not just finding out whether or not you called to be a pastor or a minister or a teacher. This is about are you working the right job? Are you doing the job you're supposed to be doing? Are you treating your family like you're supposed to treat them? Are you talking to your children, talking to your wife like you're supposed to? What does the word say about your behavior? God understand I'm human, this earth. No, he don't. He don't. You're not going to tell a God that has given you the greatest access to the power in the universe that you don't have the authority to control your mouth and how you speak to him. I tell you, my wife will tell you, I don't holler at her. Do we agree on everything? No. But he said one time, and God got these ways of saying stuff where you can feel it in your spirit, okay, what he is saying. You can hear it, you know, and it don't be verbal, just the Lord. He said, that's my daughter. And if I don't think my face look right, I won't even look at her because that's his daughter. And the evidence is there. When I do what I'm supposed to do, she do what she's supposed to do. I have a great wife. I have a loving wife. I really do. I really do. That's why I pray for her, because she can't go. She can't die. I can't. Too long to make her like you. But this is why? Because this is called walking in love with God. This is not religion. God wants to dress you so that you will be able to serve him throughout the universe. He want to say, Maureen, I need to send you to Alpha Centauri. There's a problem over there, and I need you to go over there and deal with them and teach them this. You ain't even got to go get it. You ain't got to call NASA and say, set me up a spaceship. Let me get on and go on over there. By the time you complete the thought, you'll be on the Alpha Centauri, which is like 250 million light years away, and you'll be there like that. That's the kind of power God wants to give you. Go online and look at some of the pictures of the Hubble scope and just think, God called all those stars by name, and they have never seen one up close other than our sun. Okay. Now, with that, I just want to make this introduction here for those that may be listening for the first time. Listen, I realize I've talked to people with a lot of different cultures, and you be led on the Holy Spirit. God will deal with you as you are. I know some of you are Arabic and Indian. Listen, just but make this step, because this will empower you. This will empower you. Y'all have my email address. You can send me questions, and I will respond to you. I go through that particular email every day. And I realize the significance of, because this is what, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to see they went through the same thing. Remember what we read when Jesus appeared to them in the book of Mark, okay, in the book of John, they were locked in a room. They were hiding from their own people. See, so yeah, there will be challenges, except that we understand some things now about the power of God that they were at the beginning. We're at the end. So those are things that we can do now that they weren't able to do only because they didn't know. And it wasn't God, I asked God about it, and it would have interfered with how we are trained. But we had to close now. Things are different. And you look at the closing periods of dispensation, God do things differently. Believe me, some change is going to come. Prayer with me. Just believe it, and you will receive it. Gracious Father, I believe that Jesus is your son, and I believe that you sent him to die for our sin. And I acknowledge as a person that I was born in sin, and I have forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth, that I am born again. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I am forgiven. Amen. Amen. Stick with me, because we still dealing with this. We're going to deal with it until we don't, okay? But remember this. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. God bless. Hallelujah.
Good energy fills me. I feel the love. I know it's not me. It's from above. I'm overflowing. I feel the good. It's something on me strongly. If you feel me, everybody throw your hands up and say, I feel the grace. I don't deserve it. It's just his pace. I'm aerial surfing, gone with the wind. His hand is on me. If you agree, can't explain it simply. Go ahead and throw your hands up. I woke up this morning to get it in. No, I'm not playing. This is my trend. No, I'm not perfect. I wanna get it right. So I encourage my own self. Turn left, focus on my own shelf. Reach for the top, don't stop.
Hand.
Yeah. I feel good. I'm so thankful. I feel good.